You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
I'm Julie Burstein. I'm here on this Columbus Day afternoon in for Leonard Lopate. There's been a tremendous amount of talk recently about a change that each of us might be able to make in our lives that could alleviate global warming as well as improve our health. It's not driving a hybrid car. It's giving up meat and dairy products. The actress Alicia Silverstone says that her switch to becoming a vegan, macrobiotic lifestyle helps reduce the effects of global warming and prevents cruelty to animals. And she says it keeps her skin glowing and her weight where she wants it. Ms. Silverstone details her eating plan in her new book, The Kind Diet, a simple guide to feeling great, losing weight, and saving the planet. It's published by Rodale, and it brings Ms. Silverstone here to The Leonard Lopate Show. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
Now, this isn't a traditional diet book where you count calories or you say, eat this for breakfast, this for lunch, this for dinner.
Yeah. What I'm trying to do is free people, the freedom of not having your brain consumed with, can I have that? How many calories is in that? That's too fattening. All that nonsense just makes your brain clogged up. I want people to be free and experience the joy of living a really decadent, indulgent, delicious lifestyle that happens to be nourishing your body instead of depleting it. So as I get older, I feel myself getting younger and stronger and more vital than ever, rather than sort of slowly decaying, you know? And that's just about picking different kinds of foods. And it can sound overwhelming if you don't have a guide, but that's why I wrote the book, so that you'd have a very, very simple, easy to understand guide that really just highlights, first of all, why you might not want to eat meat and dairy for your own sake, for the planet's sake, and then looking at what foods you really want to try and add into your life, so that it's not about sort of like deprivation. It's about adding these really magical foods that nourish your cells and your blood and make you really vital.
Well, that deprivation piece, I brought the book home, and my 14-year-old son really loves to cook, and he's learning how to cook. And I said to him, okay, choose a recipe. And he took a look at it, and he said, Mom, you know I really like meat. And I said, I know, but let's try something else. How do you respond to people like my 14-year-old who does really like meat?
Well, I really liked meat, too. I grew up on pork chops and bacon. And at the time when I made this decision to go this way, I was on a steak and donut diet.
Which I guess, yeah, could work for various things, but maybe not for losing weight.
It didn't do anything good to me. But what I would do for a 14-year-old kid is, first of all, I wouldn't talk to them so much about it. What I would do is just make them delicious food. And I guarantee you that if you made the chorizo tacos or the waffle and sausage and cheese panini from my book or the pecan-crusted seitan, that they wouldn't be saying, where's my meat? They'd just be saying, Mom, this is really good. And so I feel like the more you just add great things into your life and step away from the nastier things without making a big production out of it, without stressing yourself out, and without, because sometimes when you tell a kid what you're doing, that's when they get into, they don't want to, it's rebellion time, right? But if you just sort of seduce them by, there's a restaurant here in New York City called Candle 79. And I bet if you took your kid there and got him the seitan piccata and the peanut butter chocolate bliss for dessert, he would just think it was the yummiest thing. And not necessarily, he doesn't need to know that it's vegetarian, because it's not, all that matters, it's delicious, and that he doesn't feel terrible after he leaves, which you usually feel after you have a big plate of ribs or something.
Well, I have to say, I was surprised, because this is a kid, the first thing he wanted to learn how to cook was hot and sour soup, a vegetarian way.
Oh,
so I was
good.
Surprised that he had that reaction. So that's why I wanted to ask you, but that's very interesting advice to bring back to
yeah,
him.
Yeah, for husbands too. It's like, or whatever, it's for whoever your partners, whatever. It's just sort of, if you're getting healthier and you're feeling better and they start to see your skin glow, they're going to be happy for you. One of the people that I work with, he when he read my proposal for the book, he immediately started to give up some things. And he was on a very traditional meat at every meal diet as well. And he gave all of that up. And he lost 15 pounds in the first 2 months, I think, or something like that, maybe the first 3 months. And at first, his family was not like super excited about this, but it was his own thing and he wasn't imposing it on them. But slowly they saw him sort of melt away and his skin become glowing and radiant. And when he went to the doctor and he no longer had scary cholesterol and he now was at a very normal, healthy place to be at, they're all psyched about it and they're all doing it together. So it can become quite a beautiful thing when you see somebody blossom like that.
For you, I mean, you were an actress. You found fame very young. I just watched Clueless yesterday as my son went to a movie. Aww. I watched it in the car, And I thought, being young in Hollywood, food must take on a particularly, food must have a particular meaning because weight is such a big issue for so many people. Was that true for you?
It was at a time. And I just am the type, I rebelled at that time. I sort of said, well, I don't like this whole famous thing anyway. And I don't like people telling me how I'm supposed to look. So I was, and I was not, I was young. So I really just had a silly attitude towards it all. And I rebelled. And so I ate more, gained more. And
although it sounds like that attitude served you well when you found something that worked for
you. Well, yeah. So then when I became vegan, I didn't do it because I wanted to be skinny or because I actually had no idea that I would be so healthy. I didn't know Bruce Lee and all these amazing bodybuilders are vegan because they want better performance. I didn't know that was possible. I sort of thought I was making some kind of sacrifice. And I did it for the animals, and the animals saved my life because immediately I started to, my nails got really, really strong and my skin started to glow and I had so much more energy. And everybody's surprised that this isn't, my hair is not, what do you call it, extensions. Like, this is my hair. And, you know, I've just, my whole body and my whole, and I stopped going to the doctor. I used to be on an inhaler. And I used to have massive asthma, and I would go get my allergy shots twice a week. And I remember my allergist emailed me about a year into not – I hadn't showed up to the allergist, and he said, why aren't you coming to see me anymore? And I said, oh, I forgot. I don't have any of those problems anymore. And he said, well, what have you been doing? And I said, oh, I, you know, gave up dairy, and I'm a vegan. And he goes, oh, I hear that works a lot. And I was like, why didn't you tell me? And so I think that it's quite typical that this makes that kind of change in your life.
From the research that you did and your own experience, you write about the things that are nasty to our bodies.
Yeah.
What is it? What is it that does that, and why? From what you explored.
Well, there's all kinds of amazing research out there available to us, and unfortunately, there are forces against us that don't want you to know this so much. But you know. For example, Colin Campbell wrote a book called The China Study, and it really shows that the animal protein causes cancer, and it's directly linked. And that, you know, and then there's John McDougall's studies, and there's Dean Ornish's studies. And these people are literally taking people who have heart disease and reversing it and stopping it, and diabetes as well. So there's just so much research that points in one direction. What did you ask me again?
Asked about the things that are nasty to our bodies, but also, you know, you also write a lot about how becoming a vegan is good for the planet, too.
Yes. So, well, that's the other aspect. So those are the illnesses that you can kind of, you know, and why not start early and prevent those things now? And I mean, you know, not needing to take antibiotics and not needing, you know, just not even the simple things. Like, let's forget the really serious illnesses that people have. Oh, and, you know, and there's this, I'm all over the place, but there's this woman, Mina Dobick, who was diagnosed with cancer and she was given 2 months to live. And she had nothing to lose at this point because literally she had 2 months to live. And she found macrobiotics and she wrote a beautiful book called My Beautiful Life. Mm. And she completely cured herself. And now she's this sweet little lady who goes around healing people and working with them. But the planet issue is that, you know, it takes an insane amount of precious resources to produce animal protein. For example, a 16-ounce steak, which is like, you know, a pound, just to produce that 1 pound of steak would require the amount of water that you could shower on for 6 months. So we spend all this time trying to save water. I certainly do. But you know, the amount of water I'm saving by not picking that steak is astounding. And the oil, it's about 20 to 28 billion gallons of gas a year just for beef.
No, I know. Mark Bittman, the cookbook writer, once said that to raise one cow to adulthood took as much gas as driving from Miami to Alaska and back.
Yeah, it's pretty insane. So, you know, we'd be able to dial down our insane consumption of oil and coal and fresh water and the rainforest that's precious and being destroyed.
Do you know how much resources it takes, say, to grow a carrot or a burdock root or something like that?
I think I remember that a pound of carrots compared to a pound of beef. I think that the carrots, it was like 33. It was the number 33. Now, what was it?
I think maybe ounces or something.
Yeah, it was something really ridiculously low. I mean, it still takes
gallons.
Energy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It still takes energy, but it's not the numbers are so polar opposite that It's really amazing.
Someone from our control room said it's 33 gallons, so
yes,
that makes
right,
it easy.
Okay, yes, thank you.
Which
33 gallons.
If that was 6 months of showering, you wouldn't be taking very long showers.
No.
For you, when you were thinking about putting this book together, did you actually go and research these recipes and put things together yourself, or did you collect things from other people? How did you put this book together?
I've been collecting ideas and recipes for years and I had this sort of mad file in my home that was my book file. And I don't know when I thought I was ever going to do it, but it just sort of collected. But as I started to help people, I helped a woman who had ovarian cysts, and she ended up not needing to have her surgery, and she was fine. And friends who just are constipated. Everybody's constipated. So helping.
Or the opposite. You never know.
Yeah. So I helped my friends with that. And the more I sort of got involved with helping people get better, they were telling me, you need to make this into a book anyway. And so I finally went through all those files, and I actually, the first draft of my book was 600 pages, so that had to come down.
You needed to put it on a diet a little bit.
I had so much information I wanted to share, and the recipes are forever. There are things that I've been making in my kitchen for ages. There are things that my husband invented. There are things that my mom used to make when I was little, and then, you know, I just converted them to make them healthier. And I have a lot of chef friends, so I would ask them, you know, just sort of collection of all different things.
I'm speaking with Alicia Silverstone. She is an actress, and now she has her first book called The Kind Diet, which is about a vegan diet, and it is from Rodale Press. Alicia, how did you end up thinking about the three different levels that you write about in your book?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, because the main thing for me is I really hope people don't look at this like a vegan book as much as a book that can change their life and make them their healthiest and happiest and most vital. And, you know, I think that in case anyone's frightened of the word vegan, not that you should be because it's not a scary word, but in case that scares you, I have a whole section called flirting. So you could be on the flirting diet within the Kind Diet. And what that would mean is that you would just keep an open mind and be playful and try new things. And, because once you read, like, I think it's about 100 pages before you get to the recipes or something. Once you read all that, I think you'll have a stronger understanding. I obviously don't have enough time to kind of go into the details of it all, but that's what the book's for. But you can have a very strong understanding of why you would want to eliminate these things. Like, when you look at the statistics and the information, it's really astounding about what it does to your body and what you could potentially have, the benefits. So then the book can take you through steps so that you could do the baby steps, which is the flirting diet, and just start adding good things and slowly letting go of the bad things, but never being hard on yourself or judging yourself. You know, it's like the more, even if the UN says that if you give up meat one day a week, even that makes a massive difference, and obviously encourages you to then work your way up to all the time. But even if you just did it once a week. So wherever you're at, if you eat meat every single day, maybe you say 2 or 3 days a week, I'm not going to. So any progress you make is good for your body and good for the planet. So I think that the concept that you have to do an all or nothing can be kind of overwhelming and makes you end up not getting any benefits because you just give up. But if you move in the direction, consider yourself an aspiring vegetarian or something, then you can sort of let yourself off the hook if you fall off one night and you get back on.
And that gets back to my 14-year-old, which is the idea of, do I have to give this all up or could I just try something? It also gets at what most books like this wrestle with, which is there's a kind of intellectual, this is important for you, this is important for the planet approach. But at the end of the day, when I'm cooking dinner for my kids and my husband, or he's cooking dinner for the rest of us, it's what can I put on the table that they're actually going to eat and really like.
And that's why I in the vegan section of the recipes, I promise those recipes are undeniably delicious for all. They're the superhero recipes, some of them are like that, but some of them are more like, I wouldn't say if you were having a dinner party, serve my magical soup. You know, that's for when you feel like you're getting sick and you want to get better, or if you just want to be extra superhero. But in the book, if you want to have a dinner party, you should serve. Your kid's going to love the sausage cheese panini, and he's going to love the chorizo tacos and the peanut butter chocolate, like they're kind of like Reese's Pieces butter cups, and the oatmeal cookies and all those things there, and the cheesecake. Like, you know, there are really delicious foods. And it was really important to me because I love food and I didn't give up my love of food. I haven't become suddenly overnight someone who doesn't care about food. I feel like I'm kind of a food snob. It's very important to me that it's delicious. Otherwise, why bother, right? So I feel like I've done a good job of really, I mean, the standards of what could make it into the book in the vegan section. And I say, like, this is party fare. Or sometimes I'm like, this isn't party fare. This is more for healing your body.
Mm-hmm.
And you start to treat food as medicine, you know, and look at, there's the fun part. There's the party fun part. But there's also the superhero sections more like, seriously, do I actually want, you know, if I want to feel, if I have to work or do it when I do theater and if I want to be at my best. So that's not the day that I'm going to eat, you know, my chorizo tacos so much. But I would still pick the chorizo tacos over a steak any day. They'll give you a completely better feeling.
Speaking of work, you're back here in New York. In your book, you write about eating in New York and feeling not quite right because you were eating all of these mangoes and things like that in the middle of the winter in New York City. When you're here in New York, what are you thinking about eating for yourself?
Well, I've been on a eating frenzy since I've been here, and I've been enjoying it so much. For example, like for cheese lovers, I went to Pure Food and Wine, and they're over on like Irving or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I had, well, first of all, I had a mint chip ice cream sundae, and I don't know about you.
And these are all with quotes around them because none of these are ice cream.
It's not ice cream.
Ice tofu or something like that.
It's not even, this one isn't even tofu because the restaurant's raw, but they make it with nuts and coconut and yumminess. And all I know is it's delicious, so I really don't mind what it is. but I know that it's, they don't even use sugar, and they use probably agave for sweetening. But I loved mint chip ice cream when I was a kid, so that did that for me. And then they had a cheese plate. And they make cheese from this company called Mr. Cows or Dr. Cows or something like that. And the cheese tasted like cheese. I'm not joking. This was the first time I tasted cheese where it was like served just like a fruit plate. And I mean, just like a cheese plate. So that was exciting. And Candle 79, like I said, and Hungawe, this Korean restaurant on 32nd between 5th and Madison. And then there's my local standby, Suen. I always go to Suen for
which
my...
is right around the corner from us here.
Oh, it's so great.
Yeah. Here in New York, you're going to be in a play. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'm going to do a play called Time Stand Still, and it's directed by Daniel Sullivan and written by Donald Margulies. It's his new play, and Laura Linney is starring in it with me, and Eric Bogosian is going to be in it, and I'm really, really excited.
You've done both theater and movies. Do you find you have a preference for one over the other, or are they...
I love both, but I have a really strong affection for the theater experience. It's just magical. It's one of those things where when I stand on stage, I just feel so... It's sort of how I felt when I was writing my book. No matter how hard or how much pressure there is, there's like a softening in your heart, and it just feels so like this is where you were born to be. It feels very magical, and I get all sort of... you know, romantic about the whole thing. So that's how I feel when I'm doing a play. I just feel like rooted, and I just feel so strong.
And you said that's how you felt when you were writing this
book.
Yeah,
I did.
What was the process like for you?
Well, it was amazing because I was just so stimulated, and I was so surprised. I think the reason I kept holding off on writing the book is because I didn't think it would be that fun. You know, I thought it sounded like a lot of work. But every time I worked on it, I would just... felt so connected to the universe and so, you know, it sounds sort of silly, but I just felt like this is what my purpose was. And I knew that I had so much information to articulate, and I knew that I needed to deliver, because what I really wanted to do was deliver information that you could read in Dr. Colin Campbell's book or in Neil Bernard's, all these doctors' medical books. But I wanted it to be in a really fun, easy to read way so that you could, you know, I hope people will read those other books, but I just wanted to bring it to you in a more condensed sort of girlfriend, easy to understand way, but have really vital information in there. That was my goal. And to also present really amazing, delicious food. So I feel like the Kind Diet does that. And so every time I was working on it, I just felt so happy. And even when I didn't leave my house for weeks and my husband was like, you need to leave. You need to step outside and you need to take a shower.
One thing that writing a book, you don't have to write. You don't have to get out of your pajamas if you don't want to.
It's showering. It didn't happen very often. And I would just, you know, but I was so in love with the process. I really, really loved it.
Is there something else you can imagine being pulled to write about? Or
yeah. Well, I have those other 300 pages that didn't make it. No, but for reals, I do have... I really would like to write a book when I have a baby about raising children, like the process of getting pregnant. I feel like a lot of people can't get pregnant because they're just not healthy. I don't feel like it's, you know, it's our food is so bad and the way that we eat. We never look at what's the cause of these things. We always jump to, well... You know, it's this disease or it's that, or we start taking medicine or we cut ourselves open, but we're not really looking at what are we doing that's making us, our bodies not work properly. So I would like to do sort of an examination of how to really eat in order to get pregnant and how to really eat while you're pregnant and how to really eat once you have the baby and how to feed your children sort of, but I got to get pregnant and do all that first, so maybe long way in the future.
And it sounds like it's a different 300 pages that yeah, the 300 pages you've already written, maybe a separate book.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much for being here. I've been speaking with Alicia Silverstone about her book The Kind Diet: A Simple Guide to Feeling Great, Losing Weight, and Saving the Planet. It's published by Rodale Books. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Alicia Silverstone will be speaking and signing books tonight at 7 at the Tribeca Barnes & Noble. That's at 97 Warren Street. Up next, Washington Post reporter David Finkel describes how a battalion of Army infantry soldiers changed over the course of their 15 months in Iraq and whether they felt the surge there was a success. I'm Julie Burstein, in for Leonard Lopate. This is WNYC and WNYC.org.